Hi, my name is David.
Hi, my name is Aiden.
Hello, my name is Trent.
Do I talk?
Hey, my name is Keanu, and my favorite part of the camp was the worship, fellowship, and watching all of their lives get touched by God and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Wait, do I have to do it?
Okay, I'm sorry.
They're spending time with kids my age and worshiping the Lord along with them, and getting a prophetic word spoken to me, and having the lead role in the little skit that we did.
What was your favorite part about camp?
I loved the worship and that last day when we were all praising God and praying together, and I fell out in the Holy Spirit.
About the playground.
My favorite part of camp was the worship and the fellowship and the touch of God that was all over the students, and it was a good weekend.
And my favorite part of camp was the worship, but the second place is for surely the activities during service. I had to put my life on the line twice. It was bad.
My favorite part of camp is always the same, to see how God touches the lives of our young people. Honorable mention runner-up is when me and Trenton both got blindfolded and he wheelbarrowed me through a tarp full of Legos and mouse traps for extra points, just for us to still come in last place.
My favorite part of camp was worshiping God with my friends.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and my favorite part of camp was the worship and the fellowship. I met a lot of people from my hotel, and I made a lot of new friends.
When we had free time, and we would go outside and do fellowship with s'mores, and also worshiping in front of our Lord.
My favorite part of camp was the worship and Friday night, because I got prayed over and I got a word. And yeah, and the games were fun.
And my favorite part of camp was to spend time with one of my friends and to spend time with God in the sanctuary and to feel his hands wrap around my body.
All the women got together and we did like a women's and then a men's. Favorite part was when I did the prayer and I forgave my mother.
My favorite part of camp this year and every year is our Holy Spirit night, and that is the night that I feel as youth pastors we prepare the most for, because we want every student to encounter the Holy Spirit. And this past week, or when we were at camp, it was such a pivotal moment for so many students. I love watching the younger generation get to know Jesus for themselves and receive the Holy Spirit for themselves. So it was just a really awesome time, and we had so much fun. And thank you everybody that made it possible for all of our students to get there this year.
Amen and amen. And that's why we do it. So we just wanted to show you some of that testimonial, especially thank you to everyone who gave and helped support our youth to be there, and all of you guys who were wearing your bracelets and praying for the students throughout the week. Those are just some snippets, you know, of what happened. And we always tell them, you know, the most important part about camp is coming home. And, you know, it's not just a great weekend, but it's not the end of something, but it's the start of something. So praise God, we are just believing God that, you know, what was started there is going to continue. So even though we're not at camp, continue to pray for our students, because we are, you know, we're still walking, and so we still need your prayer. Amen? Amen. Well, with that, I have just a quick few announcements to share with you. One, how fun was VBS? Yes, my son asked me on Saturday morning, are we going back to Mega Sports Camp? It's all done. So we're going to go tomorrow? No, next year. So from the mouth of a four-year-old, it was amazing. And so thank you everyone who gave up all of last week to come make it happen. And we had an amazing time too. So it was awesome. I mean, with that, we canceled a few things. We didn't have youth service last Wednesday. Just a quick shout out. We are going to have youth service again this Wednesday. Not our midweek service for everybody, but please still bring your teenagers because we really want to continue the momentum from camp. So I know you. There's nothing for you, but please bring your students still because we are already praying and believing God that this upcoming Wednesday is going to be a big night for us. Amen. Amen. And then one final announcement for you is for our Ladies 55 Plus group. The painting class is coming up. It's going to be this Tuesday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And so you're able to sign up with Miss Cecilia in the lobby. And that's $25 per person covering all your supplies. Next week. Didn't I say that? That's what I meant. That was a test, guys. 1 to 4 p.m. next Tuesday. Look, even more time to register and sign up. It's great. That's the good news. That's going to be it for the announcements. But before Pastor comes, if you guys would please direct your attentions to the screens one more time, we have a video to show you.
Junior high, you guys can take off. Hallelujah. I think so. I think Cameron's going to be, yep, Cameron's got it back there. He's good. Hallelujah. No, I thank God for the opportunity just to thank the Lord for this, you know, wonderful, wonderful country. Most people don't understand, you know, in 1492, you know, we all know, we've studied history, that Columbus came over and he discovered America, okay? But what most people don't know, that in 1492, all of the Jews got kicked out of Spain. And there's a lot of things that happened. And so God raised us up, not just to be a Christian thing, but also to be an ally to them and to the Jews and everything else. You know, God had a plan and a purpose, and he still has a plan and a purpose. And no matter what anybody else wants to say, no matter what any politician or anybody else has to say, our nation was founded upon Christianity. It was founded because people wanted to have freedom to worship God the way they wanted to worship God, in the sense of what it was, have a right relationship with God instead of have rules and regulations. And thank God we still have a nation that still lets everybody do what they want to do. And, you know, we all want to make them be Christians, but we can't. We want them all to receive Christ. Amen. And so that's why we preach Christ. That's why we declare the goodness and the grace of God. But we need to live our lives as free people. And we need to declare our dependence upon the Lord. You know, yesterday, you know, 250 years ago, there was a signing of a Declaration of Independence, you know. But we need to understand that, you know, we need to have an everyday thing that we have a signing of a Declaration of Dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we're walking this out. Amen. In what he has for us. So I know there's been a lot of, you know, just junk go on. Sometimes I wish we never had an internet. We would be so much better off. Oh, but look at all the, I know all the good that it can do. I do understand that. I use it every single day. There's great podcasts. There are great things. There are great things that you can see and do. You know, now we have AI and Google, you know, all these other things, chat, all this stuff. You don't have to do it. All you have to do is talk into it, and it'll create everything for you. You know, but the wonderful thing is that it can't create the relationship you need with the Father God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to Job. And then we're going to talk about how bad Job is, but we're going to take a scripture out of Job, okay? Hallelujah. Because I want to talk to you about two things. I've got two different things rolling around in my spirit. One is the declaration of dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and also that he has called us to decree and to declare some things, that we've got to have a voice that continues to shout for God for this next generation. And we need to declare what God is doing in our lives. Amen? There are some things that we need to be declaring, his miracles, his signs, and his wonders. And also that God's not dead. He's fully alive. God's got a great plan. And do I believe Jesus is coming back? Absolutely. Hallelujah. Do I know when? Nope. But I'm going to live my life like he's coming right now. Amen? You know, in Job chapter 22, let's read... let's read verse 21. We'll start at verse 21. We're going to get down to verse 28, which is what we really want. But verse 21 says this, you know, Job, just to give a little backstory, you know, Job was a righteous man that thought, and he prayed, he did a lot of things, but the devil came and talked to the Lord and said, hey, if you'll take everything away from him, he'll curse you. And we know that he didn't. He didn't. You know, his wife told him to curse God and die. And he said, you know, no, we're not going to do that either. And then he had these four wonderful friends. Oh, don't, you know, everybody needs four crazy friends, but nobody needs four of these kind of friends to come in and tell you all of your faults and all of your bad things. You must have done this and you must have done that. And then give you really terrible advice. But what happens is that when he comes down here, then Job begins to talk about things. He said, if we'll acquaint ourselves, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him, talking about God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt be put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust and as the gold of Ophir and as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and you shall pray, or you shall pay your vows. Verse 28 is the verse I wanted to get to. And the reason I read the other ones is because you need to understand, they're turning them toward God. Like, he said, you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Why does God give us our promises, or the promises in the Word of God? Why does God want us to draw near to him and to find out what he wants us to do? Is because he wants his will in the earth. You know, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that an amazing thing? They didn't say, Lord, teach us this, teach us that. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we know that every time you go away from us, you go pray and you come back and then you go and do miracles. And then you go and pray and then you come back and then you go and do miracles. So we want to know how to pray. The most important thing in our life is to know how to pray. Well, God, you know, Jesus gave him that wonderful Lord's Prayer in the sense of, you know, and he said in that prayer, it says that his will, God's will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen? God has a plan for his purpose and his will to be accomplished in the earth. The bad thing about that is God didn't leave it up to him. God left it up to us. Oh, he said, Lord, why? Why didn't you just get a few? Why didn't you get some elite ones that'll actually do it? You know? But he said, no, it's for everybody. It's for all of us. All of us receive, all of us can be born again. It's for all of God so loved the world that he gave. and he's still giving and he's still doing. But it's for all of us. We have as much of God as we want to. We're dependent upon God as much on him as we want to be dependent upon him. We've declared as much as we want to declare. Amen? And to declare simply means to make something clear. It's amazing. If you ask somebody who's not born again what Christianity is or what religion is, they're going to tell you all kinds of crazy things because they've heard so many different things because we haven't been clear on the things that God has for our lives. Or we haven't been clear on the simplistics of the gospel because the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. Amen? I mean, in Deuteronomy 4, I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures here. Deuteronomy 4, 13 says, "So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and then he wrote them on two tablets of stone." 1 Chronicles 16, 24 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods." Hallelujah. In Psalms 2, verse 7 says, "I will declare the decree." Isn't that an amazing thing? "The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations or the heathen for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession.'" Amen. Psalms 40, verse 10 says, "I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly." The New Living Translation of that verse says this. He says, "I've not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about it. I have talked about your faithfulness and your saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness." When's the last time you shouted out God's faithfulness and his unfailing love? Amen. God is so faithful. He is so wonderful. Amen. I'm so grateful, so faithful, so thankful for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 107 verse 22 says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Psalm 73, 28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all of his works." That I may decree, that I may declare, that I may voice how great God is. Amen. You know, that's the thing about what the Lord has done for us and what he has done. And that's where many times as we look at all of the bad or we decree all of the wrong things instead of decreeing all of the right things. And simply just decreeing, "Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that God's hand is upon me. I'm so glad. I want to offer up the sacrifices of thanksgiving." Amen. I want to honor him. Because what happens is that we have a tendency to look and to see. We get mad at everybody else who wants to say how bad it is and they want to come against things. Man, we ought to be shouting it from the housetop. One of my best examples is this, is that if those of you that know, Brother Hagin, which is Kenneth Hagin Sr., he's in heaven, and John Osteen were in an elevator. They're both in heaven. They were both great men of God. And they're in an elevator, and they got in the elevator first. Well, then all of a sudden, two drunk guys got in front of them. You know, and if you know Brother Hagin, he doesn't ever talk at all, period, hardly. He just, you know, sits there and twiddles his thumbs, doesn't do anything. Anyways, but John Osteen, he not the way, because John Osteen was a little guy, so he had to have a mouth. He was good. And lest you think, I love John Osteen. I just loved him as being a pastor. Anyways, these guys got on, and they started cursing and just saying things, because they were just not... You know, and then all of a sudden they kind of steps aside. He just steps right up in the middle. He says, "Hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah." He said, "If you're going to praise your God, I'm going to praise mine." And he said there was a holy hush. He said, except for Brother Hagin laughing in the background. See, now most of us would be intimidated, but not him. How many of you know we don't need to be intimidated at all? Amen. We don't need to be intimidated at all. Hallelujah. God told us so many times in the Psalms to declare the works of the Lord. Declare the works of the Lord. Why? Because we have a declaration of dependence, not a declaration of independence. And see, that's what everybody, you know, we had this whole thing about no kings, no kings, no kings. Man, I'm so glad I got a king. I'm so glad that I've got the King of Kings and the Lord. I'm so glad that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I have no problem submitting to him. I have no problem allowing him to guide and direct my life, because I want to declare the works, because it's so good. Because God is doing so many great things, you know? And then honoring. There's been like so many things you see, you know, and, you know, we're curious people. And I always tell myself, why did I watch that? Why am I looking at that? Why am I seeing? Because there's just nobody with complaining and griping and doing. But we get sucked in because of, oh, this is what's going on. I think, no, this is just one person's stupid opinion. But they get sucked in thinking this or thinking that, instead of saying, well, where is that which is being declared and which is being broadcast out? Because we get nervous, because if we did broadcast it out there, you're going to have all these people hating you. Thank you for your overwhelming response. Well, I just don't want to argue. Nope, you don't have to argue, but you can always declare the truth. Amen? So we don't argue. We just declare the truth of the Word of God and allow God to be God. But what are we supposed to declare? What are we supposed to say? What is God doing in our lives? Amen? What are we supposed to declare? I want you to go to Psalms with me, if you would. I'm going to jump to the very back of my whole notes here. I want to go to Psalms 145, if you would. There, and if you have it on your phone there, you can find it real fast. Hallelujah. Or on your tablet or whatever you got there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Because believe it or not, I said, well, I don't know what to say. I'm going to give you what to say. You know, till God gives you things specifically of what you know God's done in your life. You know, when you have a testimony, nobody can take your testimony away. Amen. Amen. Your testimony is your testimony. And it's the word of the testimony. It's what you have. It's what you declare. It's like the blind man when he was made to see. He said, I don't know about this guy or anything. All I know, I was blind and now I see. That's my testimony. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, I now have an incredible testimony. I was dead and now I'm alive. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I thank God for his amazing grace. But if you don't have anything, then you just look at Psalms 145. It tells us, this is what we declare. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord. I will praise thee, my God. O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Okay, we can just stop right there. But he goes on to say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Look at the next one. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I don't know about you, but God's still doing mighty acts. We just need to be a part of it. We need to decree and declare the goodness and the grace of God. We need to declare right here. First of all, we need to worship him, magnify him, bless his name. Amen. And then every day we need to praise him. For great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. And we need to declare that, not how great God was, not how great God's going to be, but how great God is. Is right now. Is right now. Stay in the moment. But why do we have to decree it? Because God told us to. Why do we have to declare it? Because God told us to. Everywhere the disciples went, they were declaring the goodness and the grace of God. They were proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? They were proclaiming, hallelujah, that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, because they were preaching to Jews. And then when Paul began to go out, they, you know, began to declare Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one. Hallelujah, if you believe on him, he is the Lord. Amen? God has made a way for you to be engrafted in. Amen. But it always amazes me that we look at the negative and the difficulty. And yes, tests and trials come. Difficulty comes. But in the midst of that, we can offer up the sacrifice of praise. And I love this. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I'll never forget, an old saint shared this, and it was a lady. She said, listen, I have to stay on fire for God, because he said, my lowest point spiritually is going to be the highest point spiritually for the next generation. And she convicted me right on the spot. I said, ouch, and oh me, and yes. Because I know the fire, the power, and the presence of God. Amen? Look at verse 5. I will speak of the of thy glories, or of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Isn't it amazing that they always declare about that God's working, that God's doing, that God's manifesting, that God's doing things. And if God's not doing things in your life because you're not talking about it, you're not speaking and saying, hey, wait a minute, God, I need you to start doing some things. Says, well, I can't say he's doing something if he's not doing something. Well, here's the first thing. Let's go back to verse 1. I'm going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless his name forever. Every day I'm going to bless him. I'm going to praise his name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let's start right there. Someone says, well, I don't ever see it. Have you done that? Have you started your day out with that? Amen. See, because what happens is that we have a tendency, we're waiting to see God do something in order to be happy, in order to say, oh, I can see God is working in this. Instead of taking it by faith. Amen. Amen. And honoring the word of God and honoring him. Because there's only two ways you can honor God. Well, I should say three ways. Three ways you can honor God. Amen? Number one, hallelujah, you believe that he is. All right? You believe that he is, and you also believe that he is a rewarder of them that you diligently seek, and that if you diligently seek him. And so you honor him by doing what he says. Amen? You honor him by being obedient to the word of God. Amen. All the promises of God. You're obedient. Once you know, then you do it. Amen. Hallelujah. If I'm not supposed to offer up the sacrifice of praise, I'm going to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Second thing is, he said the only way you can honor him is you can honor him with your tithes and your offering. You honor him there. You're giving him first and foremost. So you're honoring him there. Amen. And that, you know, you're doing that. Hallelujah. Your actions along that line. Hallelujah. Glory to God, there's an honor. But you also honor him. The third thing is you honor him by what you say. Because you got to agree with his word and you got to say what his word says. It's amazing how many people want to have a confession sheet or a thing of sheet. We got a whole bunch of things right here that you can declare and decree, but it's just taking hold of it and doing it and just honoring the Lord. Because that's how you stir up and you understand and know the joy of your salvation. I mean, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, which means you can lose your joy. We see that all the time. We see people walking in, man, where is their joy? They got in, they parked their old carcass and they're glad to be here. But we're glad you're here. We are, because we want to fill you up. We want to stir you up. That's what we know the difficulty. So, well, you just want me to be happy all the time. No, I want you to be joyful. I don't want you to be happy. I want you to be joyful, which means that you can have in the midst of chaos, in the midst of hurting, in the midst of things, you can say it as well with your soul. Hallelujah. You can rise up, hallelujah, and begin to declare his works of what he's doing in your life, what he's doing. God's molding me. God's making me. God's directing me. God's showing me things to come. God's declaring. Why? Because it's a declaration of what the Lord has already said and done for you. Amen? Amen? Why is that so important? Because there are so many voices in the world. So many voices. Wow. And none of them without signification, which means they all have an importance of what they're doing. And they have many of them have some truth. Most of them are lies. But what happens is that it's whoever's talking the loudest and the longest usually is the thing that comes. Amen? Yeah. You know, that's why when David ran at Goliath, he didn't run at Goliath with his mouth shut. He ran at Goliath yelling at him, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord my God. I'm going to come and I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to you. Never let the devil have the last word. Amen? Never let the devil have the last word. I want you to jump down, just for the sake of time, jump down to verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He said, and all your works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And if they shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power. Amen. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Amen. God's desire is that we have fellowship with him, but also God's desire is that he wants to do his plan and purpose through your life. That's the greatest joy. And as you yield yourself to him, because when we get dependence upon him, he'll make our way prosperous. He'll bless us. Hallelujah. He'll cause great joy to come, and we will be so just like, wow, Lord, you're amazing. You can do all kinds of... How many of you, you know, it's like you think everything that could be made has already been made? In 1906, at the Patent Office of the United States of America, they said, we don't need this anymore because everything that could be invented has already been invented. How many new things have we had since 1906, okay? Just a couple, right? Holy cow, okay. What a statement. And now we laugh at all that because we're in this thing. But they were actually very, very serious. They said, oh, no, there's nothing else can be invented. You know, we don't need airplanes. We're not going to need cars. We're not going to need computers. We're not going to need phones that we can walk around with. You know, we're not going to need the internet. Nothing else can be invented. But how do you know that God's still God and he's still doing? Amen. I love a scripture in Proverbs that says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and gain knowledge of witty inventions. I say that all the time. I said, Lord, you can give me one idea. Just one idea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can change the course of everything. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God can do it. God can do those things. Amen. But we've got to draw it up. How many of you know that you've got a well of salvation on the inside of you? And you've got a well of rivers of living water that can flow out of it. But you've got to draw it up. You've got to draw up and begin to say what you believe is working on the inside of you. Why is that important? Because, listen, the world's going to get worse and worse and worse. We know that. And that's what makes us think, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But the church is supposed to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And there ought to be this great distinction between us so that everybody in the world wants to run and be a part of this club. They want to be a part of this family. Yes. Amen? And the Bible declares for us, we can draw, we have it on them because we've got the kingdom of God on the inside of us. It's not something we're looking at. It's something that comes from within us. It's the Spirit of God living and dwelling on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And I think we need to start declaring what God is doing in our lives among the people. Declare his deeds, his works. I mean, people need to ask the reason of the hope that's within you. They need to see the smile on your face. When you go to Walmart, man, you go to Walmart, there's not too many people smiling. Yeah. Or even in Target, there's not too many people smiling. You know, even in Costco, there's not too many people smiling. Amen. Unless you see somebody you meet. I mean, I came up with my card up against Samantha there, and boy, she didn't know it was me, and I mean, she just turned ready to fight. I was like, woo, come on, girl. I said, it's all right. I said, I know we're fighting with the beast Ephesus here, but it's okay. And then she got all embarrassed. I said, it's all right. It's all right. I said, that was fun. I said, hey, you got your two kids? You got this? Dude, you're on a mission. Everybody, get out of the way. You know. But, amen. You know, I love to do that. It's fun. You know. But But I want you to go with me to Isaiah 43. I share the, and I want to make it fun because we have a tendency to say what's going on all the time. We say the bad, say the, instead of turning around, say, I want to make this better. But here in Isaiah 43, I want you to go to Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. Because I want to help you. Because sometimes we can get really frustrated with ourselves and frustrated with God. And you know, the reason you get frustrated with God is because you don't talk to him. Thank you for your overwhelming response. I mean, because when we mess up or we do things, we feel bad. It's like we want to run away. It's just like, you know, same thing. But if you'll talk to him and go to him, tell him your side. Amen? Tell him what's going on. Well, he already knows all that. I know, but he wants you to talk about it. He wants you to, so that you can hear his heart. Amen? Here in Isaiah 43, verse 25, he says, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, he says, not for yours, but for mine, and I will not remember your sins. Verse 26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that you may be justified or you may be made righteous. You declare, declare thou, declare what you need to do. In the New King James, it says, declare his deeds, amen, among the people. Declare. Let's declare that. Why is he saying that? Because he wants to make it right. He wants to get you back in the right things. God wants to have a conversation with you where you can say, God, what about this? I think this, or how come this took place? Yeah, but here's, you know, we got to plead your case. You got to plead your case. Let us plead together. Declare thou, talk out. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know about you, but I say, Lord, what the heck's going on? You know? Amen. He's my best friend. Best friend. I mean, he is. I and that's who I fellowship. I go and say, Lord, why did this happen? What happened here? What do I need to do? Lord, glory to God, help me to understand. Amen. And the wonderful thing is he always helps me to understand. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Says, yeah, but the Lord's always telling me it's my fault. Well, it is. It is my fault, but it's okay. He can fix it. Amen. Because God wants his word to be made manifest in our lives. Amen? And here's one of the biggest things that I found out is that with the body of Christ, many people are trying to exercise authority or exercise dominion, or they're trying to believe God for things, but they don't have enough scriptures. They don't have enough evidence to plead their case. They don't know can I really ask for that? Can I really believe for that? Can I really stand against that? Maybe God's allowing this because he wants to teach me something. No, not at all. God teaches you by the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? Doesn't teach us by sickness. Doesn't teach us by calamities. Doesn't teach us by bad things happening. None of those things. Amen? We find that out with good old Elijah when he was in the cave, you know, glory to God. There was an earthquake. Oh, man, he could see all that. Then there was this huge fire. Then there was this huge wind, and God wasn't in any of it. So that tells you, God's not in the earthquake. God's not in the tornadoes. God's not in those things. Amen? But there was a still, small voice, and that's where God is. God's always in that, and you got to quiet yourself. You know, and sometimes you got to jump up and say, hey, I do believe this. I do believe this. Glory to God. And so one thing about it, if you'll start declaring your case and you'll start gathering evidence, you'll start to believe that you actually can receive what God says. You'll actually start believing, wait a minute, I do have what God says I have. I am who God says I am. And I can do what God says I can do. Because he strengthens me, because he's with me, because he loves me. So that means I can receive all of the promises of God. Amen? Thank God God's done these things for us. Why is it, getting back to this, I always like to ask God, why? Why do I need this? Why is it that I have to ask you? Why don't you just do it? Do you ever have your grandkids come in or your kids come in? Hey, I need this. And I look at my grandkids and look at my kids. When they're, I say, so? Well, I need this. I need a glass of water. I need a glass of water. So? I didn't know you ask. I don't move. I said, how do you ask? It's amazing how they get manners. May I have a glass of water, please? I said, sure, I'll get you one. Yeah, I said, you may talk like that at your house, but you don't talk like that at Grandpa's house. Grandpa, not your slave. Let me give you a really good hint. God's not yours either. He's your heavenly Father. And he will do a father's part. He will do things if you actually talk to him right. So how do I talk to him right? Talk to him according to the word of God and talk to him with your heart. Even if it's ugly, talk to him. Even if it's ugly, talk to him. He does great things. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he said, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And, you know, and what happens is that if you do that, you're honoring God. Amen? He said, come on, let us come together. Let's reason together. Let's plead together. Let's talk. Why? Because God's smarter than you and I are. God's smarter than I am. He's so much smarter. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that Jesus asked his disciples, and we'll close on this. And for those of you that are just new here, there are many closings, but one finish, okay? I've had people say, you know, you said you were going to close 5 times. I said, I know. I did. My record's been 20, so my daughter got me on that one. So I haven't done that since. She said, Dad, you said closing 20 times today. I said, that's too many, huh? Yes! I said, yes, ma'am. I said, okay, we'll cut it. We'll cut it here. Now, why is it so vitally important that you say that you believe? Because God wants to be a personal God to you. We can go far, or not far, but we can go a little ways on secondhand revelation, but we can go all the way with firsthand revelation. When you know God's speaking to you, when you know that it's God speaking to me, that you make this word a word to you, it blesses you. It changes your life because it actually works. And you're declaring his word because it's working in me. God's bringing peace in me. God's bringing joy in me. God's working out all the things that I need. Hallelujah. And I'm honoring him. Amen. And so I'm decreeing and declaring, and here's the case that I'm saying, Lord, here it is, here it is. I'm throwing out, and then God's going to probably throw out what he has. Amen? Amen. He does. It's working together with him. We are workers together with God. I do this when somebody's sick or somebody's old or somebody is and looks close to dying. I say, Lord, you know, my heart's desire that they live. That's my heart's desire. And so I want to pray that way, and I want to give you my reasons of why, and you can talk to me about why you want to take them home. And we'll see we can figure some things out here. And so I always do that and say, Lord, you know, hey, it'd be better for this, it'd be better for that. And then he usually shares, yeah, but this is what's happening, this is what's taking place, it'd be better for this. And so I can intercede and I can pray the right way. Amen. And I said, Lord, this would be my will. But I can't do my will. I have to do your will. And see, what happens is then you don't get discouraged. Then you don't get frustrated and hurt like, oh, my gosh, God didn't answer my prayer. Because you talked to God about it. And you settled it. And you trusted him for what he's doing. Amen? Amen. See, that way we don't walk around going, well, I don't know. It's like, no, I know. I know. I just listen to what the Lord says. I listen to what God says. I'm going to build a case to present to God, hallelujah, so that I can receive all that he has. I'm going to honor him because he's the one that's always right. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just honor you today. Father, I thank you what a privilege that we have as we just be able to come together and to worship you and to glorify your name. Lord, I don't know everybody that's here, but I thank you for your amazing grace upon their lives. Lord, you alone are worthy. You alone are great. Father, because you sent Jesus, as we partake of communion today, we honored you and we've spoken about how awesome it is. Lord, if there is anybody here under the sound of my voice or anybody watching that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God loves you. God's given all of us a voice to decree and to declare what he has promised in his word. But he gave us that voice, first of all, to decree and to declare the lordship of Jesus Christ, to believe in our heart and to confess with our mouth that Jesus came to this earth, that he lived, that he died, that he was raised from the dead just for me. The Bible declares that if we would call upon the name of the Lord, we would be saved. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. Holy Spirit, you just moving across this crowd and moving out there, you know, going across the network, Father, in Jesus' name. If you're here, I love you. God loves you. He cares for you. And the wonderful thing about it, once you get born again, man, the world opens up. Doesn't mean there's not opposition. It just simply means you've found the answer. You know the truth. And here's what happened. God wants to reveal even more truth to you. But if you're here and you're not born again, what do I mean by being born? You're not saved. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not, then we want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you into a prayer that will cause you to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that simple. It's just calling upon the name of the Lord, saying, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Thank you. And you know what? He will. He will. So if you're here, you say, that's me. Just raise your hand. You say, why do I have to raise my hand? Because you're acknowledging God. You're saying, God, I'm here. This is where I'm at. This is who I am. This is what I want. Hallelujah. This is my heart, my desire. Father, thank you for every person that's here. We never force. Our heart is to know it's so wonderful to be born again. So I'm going to believe that everybody here has a relationship with Jesus. And Father, then this message was just for us, that we've got to declare your works. We've got to declare your deeds. We've got to declare what you're doing in our lives. We've got to bless you and praise you and thank you that you are moving, that you are healing, that you are delivering, that you are going forth, Father, that your plans and your purposes are being accomplished in our lives. Lord, we thank you for that. We honor you for that. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one. Thank you, Father, for the birthday of the United States. Thank you for this country that we live in. Thank you, Father, we honor you. We do. We honor you. And thank you that we live in this country. And Lord, thank you for the privilege we have to lead people to Jesus. Lord, be magnified and glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand up. We're going to have our prayer team come forward. I love you. God love you. And if you need any prayer, they're here. Be blessed. Be blessed. We'll see you guys next Sunday. God bless you.